receive him. Thank you, Lord. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord. What a combination. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me,' for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Man, thank you, Lord. Help us, God. Help us to get this. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What a revolutionary thing the Lord did through Jesus Christ. I was reading an article. It was published like in Chicago, I think. And it was about these people that they're called John Does. Have you ever heard that expression before, a John Doe? Many times it can be used for someone who's deceased. They can't identify them, so that's the general name that they get, John Doe. But there are also living John Does. And this was an article about the living John Does. And many times, obviously they all have some sort of mental problem, a disorder of some sort. It could be many things. Psychological disorder, you know, stroke, amnesia, I mean, any of those kinds of things. There's just a plethora of things. But what happens is they get separated from their families somehow, and they get picked up. Ideally, they don't get hurt, right? And they get picked up by authorities, police, and they help them get to these places. Chicago has a hospital, and they wrote this really kind of an interesting article about it, and it really kind of shed a lot of light on these John Does. Many of them, their families are looking for them already, and so they find them. But there are some that, for whatever reason, who knows the reason, but their families never even come looking for them. And so they end up here. And there was one guy there that they really feel like he had a stroke. Like, that was probably the most possible thing that happened to him. And he was, you know, young when he got there. He's like 40 years old. And the only thing that he would do to anybody when they encountered him is he would just smile. He just had this smile. He was just full of love, you know. And he would just smile, and it would just light, make everyone's day. And that's all he did, all the time. Really didn't talk, just smiled. And he was there the longest out of any of the other people. He was there for like 13 years. That's a long time. And somehow, they figured out who he was. I don't know, you know, how it was, but they did. And they had been calling him Carlos. Well, it turns out his name was like Crispin or something. Marino, not Moreno, close. Marino. And it turned out they found it like right on his birthday. It was really kind of a neat story. And it was his 53rd birthday. And the nurse walked in and said his name. and he started weeping. And it was like for the first time in 13 years, he knew who he was. And you know, sometimes that is how we are spiritually. And we need to be reminded who we are and what God is doing. And that's what I even feel like we should be doing this morning, and digging into this thing called grace and scratching the surface, yes, but at the same time, just knowing and being spoken to and being reminded of who we are. Amen? In Christ. And it's interesting how that is. Really, whatever century you look into history, all the way up to now, you see what, and these people were suffering from amnesia, but you see spiritual amnesia. People are just, you know, forgetting who they are, forgetting who God really is, and they have memory lapses. So we need to be reminded. This morning, I believe we should be reminded about the grace of God. Grace is a constant theme in the Bible, and it culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus, which we just read, John chapter 1. The word translated in the New Testament comes from the Greek word charis, which is spelled C-H-A-R-I-S, which is translated favor or blessing or kindness. That's a good word. That's a good word. I like that word. Do y'all like that word? Grace. Tell you what, there's one thing that we're going to take away from our time this morning. We need grace. Amen. I need grace. Help us, Lord. We need more of your grace in our life. We can all extend grace to others, and that's something we're familiar with, being gracious. That person was very nice, very gracious towards me. But when that word is used in a biblical sense, and especially in reference to God, it becomes much greater. The word has much deeper meaning and understanding there. It takes on a powerful meaning. Grace is the power of God. Wow. Grace is the power of God. And it is something only He has to give. God shows both mercy and grace, but those two are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Another story I found about a lady, and she's actually pretty close here in Fort Worth. She was a bus driver, and she was like super bus driver lady, awesome. And she never did anything bad, and they were going to reward her. This is real. This is a real story. They're all real, but I'm just saying, it almost seems like goofy. So she was going to receive a reward. The school district was going to honor her service and wanted to present her with this reward for being the safest driver in the school district. And so she gets her bus and loads up a bunch of the other bus drivers, and they're going to bus it to the ceremony. And what happens? She turns the bus over. No one dies or anything, but people get hurt. I mean, that's a big thing. So do you think that she got the award still? Yeah. No, they didn't give her the award. Why did she not get the award? Because they don't operate on grace. They don't operate on grace. The committee of the school district does not operate on grace. Let's put it this way, so we can kind of give it some contrast. Justice is receiving what you deserve. Some of us are extra familiar with that topic. Justice is getting what you deserve. There's a penalty, and you receive that, and you pay that penalty. Mercy is receiving what you don't. Is not receiving what you deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. You deserve something, but I'm not going to do that to you. Grace is receiving something, but it's not what you deserve. It's a powerful distinction. Justice, you get what you deserve. Mercy, you don't. But grace, you get something that you don't deserve. And that's the power of God. Thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, and it is embodied in Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, we see grace. Thank you, Lord. And when you are full of grace, other people can see it. They can see it. So this morning we'll see how grace forgives, grace will sustain, and grace will overcome. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we just thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. Lord, your word has the power. Your word is living. It is alive. It is breathed by you. No prophecy came about of man, but men were led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, to write these things. So, Lord, we are just seeking you. We're seeking an encounter with you, and Lord, that you would speak into our lives, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that even as we came here one way, we can go away different, Lord. We just pray that that would happen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And the first thing that we will look at is how grace will forgive. Ephesians chapter 2, you can go to that first slide. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And it reads, "And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Help us, Lord. Thank you for getting us out of that. That was a bad deal. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others," just like everybody is starting out. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." There's something that's happening right now. It's a spiritual thing. We're already there. Amen. That's a good thing. "Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Jesus, we need your gift. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is such a key, critical thing. Amen? The forgiveness of God that comes through the grace of God. There's a lot of things that, you know, people, there can be matters of ignorance, I guess is a way to say it. You just, it's something you don't quite understand or you don't quite know about. But when it comes to the core of the gospel, there's no room. I mean, this is the stuff right here. This is like that meat or bone or something, even inside the meat. I don't know. This is like the core of everything, how we are saved. It's so important that we know about this and understand this. And there's people that perpetuate messages that are, go against this. And so we just have to be careful. And so, you know, there's things out there that we don't understand. I mean, how does a brown cow eat green grass but puts out white milk? I don't know. It's a mystery. It's amazing. Mystery. But you know what? I don't get it, but I still like the milk. It's yummy. I don't have to understand it. But this you need to understand. This we need to understand because people try to mess with it. And it gets people messed up. In fact, there should be nothing else more messed up than for someone else to tell somebody, oh, you're a Christian now, and it's not a legitimate thing. What a scary thing that is, right? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because you're all of a sudden, you're telling someone something, and I'm not saying God is not bring confirmation of these kind of things, but I'm saying this is the most important thing, how we're saved, how someone is a true Christian. We are saved because of the great grace of a mighty God. We are saved. We are not saved because we earn it. We are not saved because we deserve it. And those things can get real shaky. And obviously, and we're going to get more into this the deeper we go into this message. This is not an excuse for sloppy living. This is not an excuse to disobey God. This is, in fact, we'll see it's opposite of that. Grace is there to enable us to do that. But at the same time, nevertheless, it's true. We cannot earn our salvation. And when people start to mess with that message, it becomes a very dangerous thing, and you can get into false teaching. We don't deserve salvation, even because we jump through certain spiritual hoops. We are beggars spiritually. Yeah, I've heard it said before, I think it's so true. I'm just a beggar trying to lead another beggar to bread. We are at the feet of a mighty God, and it's grace. Pride has no place in our life. Some people have so much spiritual pride, and it is scary, 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 scary. Like they have accomplished their position in Christ, or they have earned it, or they are superiorly gifted, or something like that. It's only because of the grace of God that we are saved. You know why? Because it takes a power to make something that's dead come back to life again. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's a supernatural thing that happens when somebody gets born again. It's a power of God. And it's resurrection power. He says he takes something that's dead and makes it alive. And we need that. Grace is the essential part of God's character. So why do we need grace? Well, to fully understand the fact that we need something we don't deserve, it's very helpful to look at who we are without grace. The Bible says that we are born into sin. I'm just going to list it off here. Psalms 51 is a good place for that. The Bible says we're all guilty of breaking God's law. Romans 3 is a good place for that. We were enemies of God. That's in Romans also. We deserve death, also in Romans. We're unrighteous, Romans 3. And 3:20 says that we cannot justify ourselves. So, in our natural person, we deserve eternal separation in hell, which is a place that God created for the devil and his angels. He does not want people to go there. In fact, the Bible is very clear. He says that he is willing that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's a loving father that has arms wide open. He says, come to me. Come to me. Can you just imagine? Like the prodigal son who was wallowing around with pigs and didn't have two pennies to rub together. And the father was looking for him to come home. It's not like he had to knock on the door and ask his dad to do him a favor. The father was waiting for him, and that's how God is. He's so full of love. He's so full of grace that he wants people to come to him. He can't force anyone to come to him, but he's got arms wide open wanting people to come. He's full of love and full of grace. And spiritually, we are separated from him without him. And he made a way through Jesus Christ that we could come to him. You know, whenever I think about this concept of being saved by grace, I think about, and especially this time, I thought about the life preserver. I thought this was kind of an interesting way to look at it. So, imagine us, and we're that guy out there, but we don't even have the life jacket. I mean, that guy's doing really good. He would still ultimately starve or something. He can't be out there forever. Yeah, exactly. The sharks are hungry too. And that's like us. We're out. We're floating at sea, and there's no doubt that we will drown. Then a massive ship comes up, massive boat, cruise liner, the New Jerusalem Cruise Lines. And the guy leans over the edge and throws out a life preserver, and we grab onto that thing. And then he pulls us up. Well, not recognizing the grace of God is like saying, well, the reason I was saved was because I held on to that life preserver with everything that I had. Well, I hope you hold on to it too. Don't let go. The Bible does teach that people can let go. But it's not because you held on that you got saved. It's because God's gracious. And he pulled that big boat up, and he looked down, and he said, I'm going to do something about this. It's the grace of God. It's unmerited favor that saves us. It's his grace in our life. I think we should just give him some praise. Lord, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord. We had no way. We were out at sea. Thank you, Lord. You made a way. Jesus. You made a way. Thank you, Lord. We were done for. Jesus. It was was over, but he made a way. Grace will sustain is the next thing we want to talk about. So we see that grace forgives. Let's look at another aspect of God's grace where he sustains. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Thank you, Lord. His grace will sustain you. His grace will sustain you through everything. And you know what? Sometimes I feel he doesn't give you the big picture every time. And that's just how God works. He gives you sometimes just a day at a time. But guess what? He's got enough grace to hold you each and every day. From sun up to sundown, he's got grace to sustain you. Chapter 12 opens describing a man who saw great visions. Paul's writing this letter. Well, ultimately, we can deduce that he's actually talking about himself. And he describes how God did not want him to become arrogant in his, what he calls, revelations. And so God uses this thing called the thorn in the flesh to humble him. And he's very clear, Paul doesn't want this. So he cries out. We don't know what the thorn was at all. In fact, it's not smart to try and figure that out. I honestly feel God did not tell us what it was very intentionally, so that we would not come up with a thorn in the flesh doctrine about something. But people try. I've heard it. They're like, it was his eyes, man. It was his eyes. Anyway, we don't know what it was. And we don't know what it was, I feel, so we can get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter was God was humbling him in his position. And what we see here is God speaking to him. And speaking to him about something so core. Something at the very center of our relationship with God. And he speaks about grace. He speaks about his favor and his blessing. And he says, it's almost like he's saying, Paul, I know what you're going through. In fact, if we read the text exactly what it says and we come into agreement, we don't try to read between the lines, that God was actually doing this to him in a sense. And he's saying, I know what you're going through, but I am going to undergird you. I am going to support you with a supernatural gift that you don't deserve. I'm going to come beside you, around you, and underneath you, and support you in your weakest moment of your life, in the weakest time you could even imagine, I will give you grace in the time of need. I want to tell you something. Call it a secret. It's not really a secret. It's all in the Word, by the way. It says that all the mysteries have been revealed. Sometimes we have good understandings about things and helpful ways to illustrate things and explain things. But guess what? There's nothing new. In fact, my position as a pastor is not to tell y'all something new. I want to give y'all the Word of God and bring y'all to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need your strength. He doesn't need your strength. I'm not saying He won't use people that have giftings in a great way, people that are humbly submitted, surrendered to Him. He does that. But He operates through humble submission of people who are really actually very weak. They're very weak. They don't have it all together. They're not superheroes. Jesus is my superhero. Jesus is my superhero. And He takes that weakness, whatever it is, and He says, if you will trust Me and you will submit and surrender to your life to Me, that thing that you think is such a scar, I will use it for the glory of God. And I will extend My kingdom. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank you for that, God. It's a work of grace. It's a sustaining grace. And sometimes there's times that we are so weak, we don't even know if we could go on any longer. And sometimes it's just where people get to. I mean, there's things aren't going right. I'm not saying they're suicidal and these kinds of morbid things. But they're saying, God, you might could just take me home. I mean, things aren't going right. Life's not going right. Marriage isn't going right. Kids aren't going right. Maybe they're sick. Maybe the things that they thought God was doing, he was doing it and He's not doing it, or whatever God's doing, they don't know. And they're like, what do I do? I'm so weak. And God says, I know you're weak. That's when My strength is made perfect. That's when I can, that's when people can see Me. They can see Me alive in you. There's the grace of God. That's that sustaining grace. It's a powerful thing. God operates through His grace and holds us up and displays His glory through our lives. We need some grace in here, don't we? I need the grace of God in my life. You know, Jesus really was a picture of this. His life was not what you would have expected, especially if you were a religious leader at that time. Before Jesus came, there were expectations that the Messiah would come in a very powerful way and He would change everything. Do you know what? He did come in a powerful way and He did change everything. But He came in the form of a person, and He came born in a manger in Bethlehem with some livestock and some swaddling clothes. A picture of weakness. The the word says that there in him there was nothing to look upon, and there's different ways to interpret that. But ultimately, it wasn't this heroic image. He came in weakness. And he came for you and for me for eternity. And you know what he proved? He proved that the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. He's so much stronger. He's so much mightier. He says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Thank you, Lord. We need his grace. We need his grace. So we see that grace forgives and brings salvation. We see that grace will sustain and give us strength. Now let's talk about how grace will overcome. Thank you, Lord. Look at this in Romans chapter 5. We'll start in chapter 5 and a couple verses, then to skip to the next chapter, chapter 6, first few verses. So Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Says this: "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin is no match for the grace of God. And we can be very thankful for that. Skip to first verse of chapter 6 right there. Blah, blah. "So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We're dead to sin." Thank you, Lord. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we can walk in newness of life." Now that's grace. That's receiving something we don't deserve. We don't deserve that. And that's power there. Overcoming power. Overcoming sin, overcoming death, that's the power of God. Go to that short little book of Titus. It's in the T's, 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Titus. It's little, so you got to watch out for it. Chapter 2, verse 11. Look at this right here. This is the real stuff. Overcoming grace. Chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness," thank you, Lord, "and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness." Man, he got us out of that junk. "And to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." This is what I call empowering grace. It's the power of God. Grace is really the power to do what's right. Grace forgives and brings us into a proper place with God. It sustains us and it gives us supernatural power to do what God is enabling us to do. The Bible reveals grace as God's unmerited favor, and it is also God's divine enablement. Thank you, Lord. Grace does not just free us from sin, from the punishment, it does, but it also frees us from the power of sin. Grace accepts us, but it empowers us to be free from it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's what we need. That's power. God in Scripture teaches us to resist sin, to flee from sin, depart from sin, say no to sin, and to not let sin reign in us. Because of the grace of God, that is actually possible. That's power. Grace, the grace of God, is no more a license to sin than life insurance is a license to go swimming with sharks. That's funny that someone talked about sharks. It would be so foolish for that to be a reality. So just because God's protecting you from something that you're going to go put yourself in that position. In fact, I would say this. If someone is really wanting to use the grace of God to live a sinful life, that is evidence of a spiritual sickness, possibly not a true convert to the Lord. Very possible. I would say if someone is using the grace of God as a license to sin, that is evidence of spiritual sickness and very possibly not a true salvation. A truly born-again person is not looking for a way to get away with sin. They're looking for a way to get away from sin. I'm trying to get away from that boo-boo. I'm trying to get away from that stuff. This illustration came to me, and I thought it was good. So the next slide. I think we could almost think about, do y'all know what's going on here? They're trapeze people. Now, I've seen some trapeze stuff, and it's really pretty impressive what they're doing. They're twirling through the air. They're doing like 50 twirls, but they're still catching the next guy. I mean, it's crazy. And you know there's always that the drum roll at the end where they take the net away and the circus stuff. Thank you, Lord. You keep the net out there. Great. Grace. The grace of God, if you will, is like the safety net. It will catch you if you fall. But grace is also the ability to do wonderful and beautiful and amazing things swinging through the air. It would be silly to hang out on the net. And if I read my Bible correctly, there's a way to climb off that net. So what's another? That's another sermon. But we would not just want to hang out on the net. We would want to do what? Fly. And grace makes you fly. Amen? He wants us to swing over temptation. Hold on! He wants us to swing over temptation. And His grace is there to help us overcome. That's the grace of God. Krista, if you want to come up at this time. We need the grace of God. All through the Bible, as Paul is writing various letters, you'll see him actually pray for people, believers. He said, I pray the grace of God will be multiplied in your life. We need the grace of God. We need multiplied grace of God. We need the evidence and manifestation of the grace of God in our life. And I've met people that were so full of the grace of God. It was so evident in their life. It was overflowing. And they weren't superheroes. But there was something in them that just attracted me to them so much. And it was that power at work in them. It was the grace of God. Grace forgives. You can go to the next slide. Grace forgives, grace sustains, grace will overcome. But we have the strongest picture of the grace of God right here. This is grace. Grace is power. Grace is love. Grace is restoration. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And if there's something that God is speaking out this morning, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's a gracious God. Sometimes people struggle with who they've been and the things that they've gone through and the way that they've treated God. But God is saying, you can turn to me right now. You can start a new fresh. You can have a new life. It's not something that you earn. This isn't something that you can work your way into. It's the gift of God that no man can boast. And God wants to do that this morning. Maybe you've been going through a very difficult time in your life and you're saying, I don't even know. What do I do? The grace of God wants to sustain you and teach you that it's through that God's going to shine the brightest that he's ever shown in your life. And maybe you have been victim to the enemy. Maybe you've bought into the trap. The enemy lays out traps of sin. And you've been giving in. Guess what? The power of God is here. The grace of God is here. That you can overcome everything. Maybe you're like, I've just been seeking God. I don't know how to get rid of it. Fall on the grace of God like you've never fallen on the grace of God before. The supernatural power. God wants to give you his grace. He wants to do it. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of the fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Maybe there's someone here that even as I was preaching today's message, you're saying, I don't have the grace of God in my life, and I have not been living right. I don't know God. I don't know Jesus. And you want to know him. You want to turn from sin. You want to turn to the Lord and repent. We want to put our arms around you as a church. Jesus actually wants to put his arms around you as a heavenly Father and show you his love, show you grace, not something you deserve, but something that he wants to do as a free gift. So if you want to receive the Lord, I want you to come down right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I can just have someone, an elder, come in and pray with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The altar is open. If you want to receive the Lord, thank you, Lord God. Whatever's going on. Also, maybe something else has been speaking to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Your grace, Lord, is so evident right now. Your people are seeing the living God. They're seeing you. They're being drawn to you. Thank you, Lord. We want people to love you, God. We see this place so full of love, so full of grace. Thank you, Lord God. Touch them, Lord. Empower them, God. Lord, that they could be transformed. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to open up the altars now. If you have a need, maybe it's even a physical need. I just want to give a short testimony. Last Sunday we had prayer, and we had a brother here that said he went back to the doctor, and the COPD is gone. There was a miracle. If there's a healing, something that's going on, or just a need in your life, I just want to open up the altar. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen.
Si estás pasando por un problema, Dios quiere, queremos orar por ustedes, pase. Dios quiere extender esa gracia en esta mañana a tu vida. Quizás estás pasando por algo que no has podido vencer ese pecado. Quieres salirte de ese pecado, pero no has podido salir de ese pecado. Queremos orar por ti en esta mañana, pasa. Ahora es el tiempo de salvación. Hoy está hablando Jesús. Que pases. Aleluya. Gracias, poderoso Dios. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor. Sin la gracia del Señor no podemos hacer nada. No podemos vencer el pecado. No podemos vencer. Pide esa gracia, humíllate delante de Dios, quita ese orgullo, pasa adelante. Dios quiere tocar tu vida. Todos necesitamos la gracia de Dios. Es el poder para vencer esas cosas que Dios te está diciendo. Deja esas cosas, hija, hijo mío, pero no has podido dejarlo. Dios quiere hacer algo en esta mañana. Dice que los valientes arrebatan el cielo por fuerza, pero los cobardes nunca entraron. Dios busca gente valiente que se humille delante de un Dios poderoso. Si nunca has recibido a Cristo, a hoy es el día de salvación. Dios te habla, Él te invita, no te fuerza, pero te invita. Gracias, Señor. Aleluya. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, poderoso Dios. Ven, Espíritu Santo. Ven, Espíritu Santo, en el nombre de Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús, levanta tu pueblo. Señor, en el nombre de Jesús. Ven, Espíritu Santo. Ven, Espíritu Santo, come Holy Spirit, Hallelujah. You see your people today, my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Gracias, Señor.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for being with us this morning. It's a great, great way to start another week in the presence of the Lord, among His believers. Those that reach out in love and correction and instruction to help you along this way. Amen. Tonight at 6, we'd like for you to journey back this way. It's going to be a great time where that we are knitted together in love, as the scripture says, and we get to know each other, and we become more and more that family that's truly brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y ponga en ti paz. Go now and bless one another, and go out and find a need and meet it, and find a hurt and heal it. Go and let people know the reason for the hope that's within you. Get some of those church cards out the back door and give them to people. Invite them in. We'll preach to them, right, David? Amen. God bless you.